members and a couple of non-members. We're glad that you stayed here today. This is all your church anyway. And so we wanted to discuss. It's the Lord's church too, but he has put us in charge of his church here on earth. So we want to do our best to serve him. I'm going to open with prayer, and then we will call the meeting to order. Heavenly Father, I thank you again for the privilege of being a part of your church. Lord, we recognize the church on the worldwide level, the body of Christ. But Lord, we also recognize that you gave local churches. And we thank you for this church, and I thank you for these people. And Lord, I pray that you would bless them and that you would bless this church. And Lord, we ask that you would help us to see with the eyes of the Spirit today, to make decisions that would benefit this church and your kingdom. Lord, that we would have your mind today. We ask for the mind of Christ, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I will call the meeting to order. And first of all, I would like to recognize that Ryan Bongard is now 18. So he has moved from associate member status to adult status. And so congratulations to Ryan on that. And then we have added a couple of members. They're not here today, and they have not officially been brought before the church. They've been approved by the church board, and so the day will come when we will just recognize them on a Sunday morning service, and that's Peter and Dorcas Stauffer. And they couldn't stay and be here today anyway. So I'd like to recognize them. And at this time, I'm going to have Rex Maughan come, and he's going to read the minutes of the 2002 meeting and also the sub-meeting that we had in the park in Knapp when we had our Sunday school picnic.
The 2002 annual business meeting was held on April 7, 2002. 38 members were present. Pastor opened the meeting with prayer. 2001 minutes were read by me and were approved. Pastor gave his report and was approved. Pastor Craig gave the youth report and it was approved. Claire Shackleton gave the financial report. The CDs were clarified and the report was approved. The Sunday school report was given by Della Lathe and approved. The Royal Rangers report was given by Don Stauffer and was approved. Valerie Bongard gave the missionettes report and it was approved. Nora Maughan gave the women's ministry report and it was approved. In the old business, there was a discussion about the building committee and what was happening. There was a motion made by Sharon Stauffer to have the building committee meet monthly and report back to the congregation on July 14th. The motion carried. In other old business, it was explained that we had only recently received the fast track papers, but we had taken on three new missionaries anyway. Our missions giving was explained. In new business, there was discussion about moving the Sunday night service back to 7. A vote was made to keep the service at 6:30. There was a discussion about hiring a church janitor. Bob Shackleton made a motion to hire a church janitor and to let the church board make the financial arrangements. The motion carried. There was a discussion about adding one or two additional members to the board or to keep it at three members. It was explained that if there were four members and there was a tie vote, pastor would break the tie. Pastor said that any changes would not begin until 2003 annual business meeting. George Lewis made a motion to try four board members, increase the board by one for 1 year, and Bob Shackleton seconded the motion. The motion carried. Before we vote for deacon in 2003, we will discuss whether immediate families may serve on the church board simultaneously. And if anybody was here, that motion was made by Tim Bongard to have that discussion. Lowell Burton made a motion that the first ballot will be a nominating ballot unless there is an election. Beverly Thatcher seconded the motion. The motion carried. The roster was closed. Pastor prayed before the vote. And Rex Maughan was reelected as deacon. Yay! The meeting was then adjourned. No clapping? Okay, well, that's just hold back. Okay. There was a meeting on July 14th, 2002, to discuss the findings of the building committee. Pastor opened it with prayer. The building committee presented its opinion that we purchase land on Highway 128 between Quick Trip and Highway 12 from the Philippines. The 10 acres would be $10,000 per acre, with $5,000 per acre being donated back to the church. The net cost to the church would be $50,000. After discussion, the members voted to recommend to the church board to purchase the land. The meeting was adjourned, respectfully submitted by me. Thank you.
All right. Do we have a motion to accept the minutes? Okay, Bev, is there a second? George Lewis? He beat you to it, Bob. All in favor say aye. Opposed, same sign. Okay. There might be some discussion on the minutes, but we'll probably take care of it through the course of the meeting. Okay? So if we don't take care of it through the course of the meeting, then we'll give you the opportunity to discuss it. Is that fair? Otherwise, I'm afraid we're going to get out of order here if we just start discussing some of the things about it. All right? So with that, let's move to the pastor's report. This is okay, it has been my and Debbie's joy to serve here at Calvary Assembly of God for 12 years now, beginning our 13th year. That's a long time. And I would like to share with you some of the things today. It's kind of a devotional and a report combined, because it's my desire to make our church a great church and not an inferior church, and to build the church the way Christ wanted his church to be built. So if you would just indulge me for a few minutes here, I'd like to share a burden lately that God has placed on my heart. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, Paul said, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men." The great need for America is churches. Everything that is good in America is supported by the church. There is no substitute for church. When ministries get started, they call the church for support. When missionaries want to go to the mission field, they call the church. Everything begins with the church. The church is the hub. The churches support the missions. The church provides the budget in many cases. And if you think of any Christian ministry activity, they go to God's people, they go to the church for support. And so I think you ought to invest your life in a local New Testament church. You ought to give your life for it. Sometimes people say, "You know, I want to get on fire for God." Well, the best way I know to get on fire for God is to attend church. And to keep your feet close to a church and attend its services when the doors are open. The church is the granddaddy of all institutions and all other organizations. And as I began to think about this, and I began to read through the Bible looking for different churches, I discovered that there were really only a few really good churches. Really good churches mentioned in the Bible. To me, that was an interesting thing. I looked at the Church of Jerusalem, and that was a good church, a great church for a while. And as I began to study the churches, though, I think that the greatest church that is mentioned is the church at Antioch. If you think about it, the church at Antioch was started by Christians who were persecuted because of the death of Stephen. The persecution arose, and the Christians left Jerusalem, and they migrated north, and they went as far as Phoenicia, and then they went on to Antioch. They started a church on people who were persecuted because they were willing to witness for their faith. It was a church where the Christians were first called that. They were first called Christians. You know, the Christians never got together and named themselves. They didn't get together and say, let's call ourselves Christians. The people of Antioch saw the people and they said, you know, these people are so much like Christ, they began to call them Christians. The world recognized them as being like Christ and called them Christians. The church at Antioch was the church that sent out the first missionaries. Paul and Barnabas and John Mark left the church and went to Cyprus. And then John Mark had that deal where he got scared and he went home. But Paul and Barnabas continued on that missionary journey. Philippi was a loving church. Thessalonica was a church that looked for the second coming of Christ and loved to study prophecy. So there were some great churches, good churches in the Bible, but there were a lot of inferior churches. In fact, there were more inferior churches in the Bible than there were great churches. There was the church at Ephesus, for example, that became an inferior church because they left their first love. They refused to do the first works. They went from the business of winning souls and evangelism and left their first love. They lost their heartbeat. They lost their amen. They lost their joy. They lost their hallelujah. They lost their expectancy. They lost their zeal. And they lost their first love. And so it became an inferior church because of that. The church at Sardis was an inferior church. It was what the church that the Bible says, thou hast a name that thou livest and are dead. What that's saying is everybody saw this church. They said, wow, that's a live wire church. Their fellowship hall is busy every night. They had a name to be alive, but they were dead. The church at Pergamos was an inferior church because that's where Satan's throne was. Now, Satan is the god of this world, and his throne is this world. And so what this is telling about us about this church is that they became a worldly church. They became a church that acted like the world, and so they were inferior. The church at Thyatira was an inferior church because they suffered a lady whose name was Jezebel. Now, this was not the Jezebel of the Old Testament, but it was another Jezebel of the New Testament. They referred to her as one who ran the church, and this became an inferior church. The church at Laodicea was an inferior church. The Bible says that they were neither hot nor cold, and because they were neither hot nor cold, God said, I will spew thee out of my mouth. The word Laodicea means to please the people. So it was a people-pleasing church. It wasn't a church that necessarily tried to please God. It was more interested in pleasing the people. Now, the honest truth is this. Good people build good churches. Inferior people build inferior churches. It's always been my thought that I will build the people and do the best I can to build people and do what's right and try not to do what's wrong, and then God would build his church. He would bless it and he would take care of the growth. And so I've come to this decision. I will not use my people to build my church. I'll use this church to build people. And I'll use this church to build you. But I won't use you to build a church. See, I believe that the church is here for you. The church is here because of its members. The church is here because of its people. It's morally wrong for a pastor to use people to build a work for himself. The work is for the people. You know, you don't have to go out and get a bunch of germs so you'll have a bunch of patients and record-breaking hospital attendance. That's not what we're after. What do? You build a hospital because you have people that have germs. You build a hospital because you have people that are sick. The hospital is for the patient. You know, the school is for the students, and so the church should be for its members. So good Christians build good churches. Inferior churches build inferior churches. Good churches also build good Christians. Good Christians build good churches, who build good Christians, who build good churches. It's a cycle. It's like the hen and the egg, which came first. There's no place to stop. And that is one of the great things about church building. You can't help but succeed. Because Jesus said to Peter, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Do you believe that? I believe that. I believe God will build his church. Now, the thing to do is for us to be always on the lookout to make sure that we are the right people, to make sure that we are good people, the right kind of people. And just for a couple of minutes here, I'm just going to real quickly dissect the church at Corinth and show you an inferior church and what the Apostle Paul said composes an inferior church. Number one, in the first place, this church was inferior because they had factions. They had divisions. And so they were an inferior church. Secondly, Paul said to that church, they were baby Christians. They didn't grow in the Lord. Paul said, I wanted to give you meat, but I could only give you milk. You just couldn't handle anymore. You couldn't grow anymore. The church should be a place where people grow, where Christians grow. And so a place where you're not growing is an inferior church. They were inferior because they had factions. They had divisions. They were inferior because they were baby Christians. This third thing might interest you a little bit. They wanted more than there was to be had. They wanted more than there was to be had. They started focusing on getting more and more and more. And I believe they lost their vision. They lost their goal of what God really had intended for them. In fact, I had like four volunteers. Could four of you come up here? We're going to organize a fire department. All right? We're going to organize a fire department, and I'm going to be the chief. All right? All right, here's our four guys. We're organizing a fire department. I'm the chief. When we're at the fire department, I want you to shine the trucks. Okay, that's your job at the fire department. When we're at the fire department, Steve, I'm going to have you press the uniforms, do the laundry. I know you like to do that kind of thing, right? Right. Steve, when you're at the fire department, you'll be the maintenance man. That's what you do all the time anyway, right? Yeah. All right. You'll be the maintenance man, and you'll make sure you shine up that pole real nice so that when, you know, they slide down the pole, they'll go down real slickly. Keep that looking shiny. And Josh, when you're at the fire department, you'll be the cook. You'll cook the meals for everybody. All right? Now, Rex, what's your job? I hated to do this to you, but I knew you would answer that. No, your job is to put out fires. And I knew you would say that, but that's okay. I just do my pick. Steve, what's your job?
Put out fires.
You learn from him. And Steve, what's your job?
Put out fires.
Josh, what's your job?
To cook and have them put out my fire.
Here's the point to all this. God has a plan for the church. We get sidetracked on what those jobs are. We begin to do what we're good at. Your gift is shining those trucks and they look nice. So you think that is what your job is. But can you tell me what the church's job is? Save souls, right? Right? It's to help Christians, edify Christians, save souls. That's our job. We are focusing on our gifts rather than on the giver. And the work that we are called to do. Thanks, guys. You can sit down. Many times we have gotten more wrapped up in our gifts than we have the command of God. And so I don't want us to lose focus on why the church is here. That is our focus. And there's something else about this church that made it inferior, and that was they didn't give. Those four things made that church an inferior church. And I want us to build a great church built on great people where we don't have factions and where we are growing in the Lord, where we're focusing on the responsibility that God has given the church, and where we're a giving church. And I think you'll see in the report today that this is a giving church, and I'm grateful for that. And I don't see a lot of factions and schisms here, but it's always a good time to take inventory of ourselves, where we're at, because good people build good churches. And that's my report, respectfully submitted. So I would be interested if somebody would approve my report. Okay, Rex. Second by Nora. All in favor say aye. Anybody opposed? Okay, thank you very much. Pastor Craig, we will have the youth report at this time. Youth pastor.
Thank you. I agree with everything he said. It was very nice. Youth pastor's report. Just going to read some of what I have here. I got back, I'm going to have to admit, sometimes a procrastinator. I got back Tuesday night late, and I knew I had to have this to pastor by Wednesday, so I wrote it Wednesday morning. And this is kind of what we did this year and what God's laid on my heart also. It's hard to believe another year has flown by. It truly is. I can't hardly believe. I graduated in high school in 94. I started working with the youth volunteer then. 98, came on staff, and so ever since then, however many years that is. But it goes by truly fast, and I'm truly grateful to God for his love and mercy in my family's life. With all that's going on in the world, it's very nice to know that the creator of the world is still in control. We need to continue to remember that. And his will is ultimately going to be done in our lives and the lives of others if we will allow him to do that. God is good. It's been an honor to serve you another year. I appreciate each one of you and all that you've done to further the ministries that God has set up in this church. Not just the youth ministries, but all the ministries. I appreciate each one of you. I sit back and I look and I maybe don't see you working in this specific ministry, but I see you working in other ministries, and that really blesses my heart. I believe that together, with the power of the Holy Spirit, that we can reach this community for Christ as each one of us also continued to grow in him. This past year, the youth participated in some major events in July. 12 of us went to L.A. to work in L.A., California, and worked 7 days out of Tommy Burnett's Dream Center. It was an eye-opening experience to minister to homeless and to share Jesus with the lost. If you didn't get a chance to hear anything about that, ask one of the youth that got to go. It was very especially for us who live in rural areas, to see homeless people under the bridges and to be able to feed them and minister to their needs. We continue to do discipleship classes to help our teens grow in the walk with the Lord. This past fall, and still continue, we've been focusing on Bible doctrine, specifically the 16 tenets of faith that the Assemblies of God have established. As well as these classes, we continue to attend special meetings such as Catalyst and Youth Convention. And some other outings include lock-ins, game nights, canoe trips, Six Flags, paintball, roller skating, so on and so forth. And many of these events we are still going to do this year, and we continue. They're annual events that we have just established, like the annual spaghetti dinner, which I have to say very much I appreciate you all coming down and joining in that time for us. We love to serve you. We know how much you adults do for the youth. Youth ministries would be nowhere if you didn't have the adults or the families to support that. And we want you to know that we do appreciate you very much. I know I don't say it as often as I should, but we do. This year, instead of going away on a missions trip, we're planning an outreach here at the church. We're planning it the second week of June, and it will consist of kids' crusades as well as a Saturday big event with clowning, free food, and inflatables. I pray that God will use this event to reach out to the communities that we live in, that many people of all ages will come to know him as their personal Lord and Savior. Even though this is going to be kids' crusades, we all know that many adults bring their kids to this, and therefore can be reached through this kind of ministry. And then that Saturday event, we're hoping that it will be a family thing where families will come and participate in that and just see that we are here to serve the community, serve the family, and to love people. If you can or would like to help in any way, it would be greatly appreciated. There's a lot of work that's going to go into this and that has already been going into this. And any way that you can help, maybe you're not sure how, just come and ask, and I can probably put you to work somewhere doing something. We don't want this to just be a youth group outreach. It'd be nice if we could include the adults and have it more of a church thing, because I know that's, I mean, like what Pastor was just saying, to save the lost and to reach out to the unsaved is what we desire to do. If you can't help, that's fine too, but I just hope that you can come, bring your friends, bring your family, and participate at least with us. We want to see your faces and have you there with us. I encourage you to send your teenagers to youth group. I know some of you don't, and I'm not sure why. Maybe you can tell me why if you don't send your kids to youth group, because I'd love to have them. I would love to minister to them as they minister unto me. I learn stuff. A lot of them teach me more, maybe more than what I teach them. They teach me educational things on how teenagers' lives are today, which is different than I was when I was a teenager, only 10, 15, whatever it was now. I'm not going to say anymore. And remember that adults are always welcome at any youth group, at any youth function that we have. You're more than welcome to come. I encourage you to come. I pray that you come. Come see what we're doing. Come see what's going on with the youth. Come to Lockins. I'd be happy to have you all night long and appreciate it. We love all of you, Christy and I and my family, and are very excited for this next year. And we pray that you would continue to pray for us and to keep us on your hearts and minds as we try to serve your teenagers and you as well.
Before you leave, any questions for Pastor Craig? Okay, a motion to accept his report. Val, and second by Kelly. Those are the first two hands I saw, so... Okay, we will move on to the financial report. You're a quiet bunch today. I ask Clarice and Della to come. Clarice is going to give the financial report, all except for the Christian Ed department, and Della's going to share that. And then I'm just going to ask the both of them to stay up here in case you have any questions for them. So, Mr. Roster.
December 31st, 2001, the checking account balance forward was $18,394.82. The income offerings for 2002, tithes offerings and other, it says, $120,931.10. The income plus balance forward was $139,325.92. And now we'll break it down into categories. Pastor Mann's salary was $29,000 even. Got Social Security for $1,936.87. The utility allowance was $1,200. Pastor Craig's salary was $9,360. Pastoral conferences come to $800. Speakers, $3,219.49. Honorariums were $2,160.19. Benevolence, $46.87. Missions, $9,841.01. Utilities, $3,798.29. Scholarships, $8,500. Designated youth, $11,176.53. Youth van rental, $564. Repairs, replacements, and maintenance, $1,029.80. And insurance, not health, $1,485. Dues, $643. Designated CE department, $125. Bank charges, $12. Transfer to investment fund, $20,000. Church ministries, which flowers, gifts, and miscellaneous, $922.53. Office supplies, $393.44, which came to $106,214.02. So the checking account balance ending is $33,111.90. The Assemblies of God Financial Service Fund, 2000 balance forward, was $141,055.60. Then we deposited $20,000 more, and interest is $9,657.18, which makes a balance of $170,712.78. Take that one.
In the Christian Ed account, 2001 balance forwarded $710.44. Income $1,835.24. So the income plus balance forwarded would be $2,545.68. The expenses for the year were $1,954.65, leaving an ending balance of $591.03. And that breaks down into three categories within the Christian Ed account. The Sunday school balance is $273.17. Missionette's balance, $294.49. The Royal Rangers balance, $23.37, which also in turn adds up to the $591.03.
Which gives us a total cash net worth of $204,415.71. And you got it in front of you. The cash net worth December 31st was $160,160.86. The net increase in cash net worth for 2002 was $44,254.85.
Okay, any questions on either of these reports? James? Okay, speakers were the guest speakers that we had in. Missionaries were included on there. Honorariums, it was like the love offerings for Pastor Craig and myself. And we had an appreciation dinner for the Sunday school teachers. That was included in there. That was all honorariums. Any other questions, actually?
Go ahead.
George?
I still have an account balance in the treasury, and it's still separated, and it's up to the workers. I wasn't in charge of the workers.
Yeah, I was wondering what happened to that money.
That is a very good question. Actually, we are not doing Royal Rangers and Missionettes anymore. Anyway, we're doing a combined. Val Bongard's been doing that on Wednesday night, combining kids clubs. So. Well, should go to the kids' clubs. Right. Do we need... Probably be a good idea, I would think. All right. All right, Nora makes a motion to take the money from Missionettes and Royal Rangers and put it into one kids' club fund, and is seconded by Bev Thatcher. Okay, any discussion on that? Okay, well, let's put it to a vote. All in favor of taking the money from Royal Rangers and Missionettes and putting it into one kids' club fund, say aye. Opposed, same sign. Okay, and it's done. Any other questions? I guess not. If you have any questions at any time, Del, you could just stay up here. We will be glad to answer to the best of our ability. But as you can tell, you need to be commended for your giving. It was a great year. Right. It's balanced to the penny. We did our own little internal audit this year, and it's balanced to the penny. So, and we're grateful to those that serve in this capacity, to Clarice and Della, for their faithfulness taking care of that for us. All right. Any other discussion on that? Okay, then we will move on to, let's see, the next report. Is it here? C report, Bella. We didn't? Oh, I'm slipping today. Motion to accept the financial report. Professor Craig, second by George. All in favor say aye. All opposed? All right, it's accepted.
Okay, just a couple words about the Christian Ed department. I'm real glad that was made a decision, because I didn't know. I talked to Pastor, too. I said, how should these finances sit like this? And he said, well, some decisions will be made, and now they have been, and I'm thankful for that. I'll put that together now in the account. The average Sunday school attendance this year was 62. Our Sunday school workers, in case some of you don't know, there's been a few changes. The ages 2 to 5 is called the beginner class. Lori and Christy are the teachers, teacher and sub for that. Ages 6 to 8 is primary, Annette and Mark. Ages 9 and 10, middler, Valerie and Nora. 11 through 13, preteen, Jim and Rex. 14 and up, teen, Steve and Craig. Adult, we won't put a name, an age on that one. Bill and Pastor, and Bob helps when needed. Thank you to all of you. And I'm so proud of all of our teachers and subs. Some of our subs are used more often than others, but I'm thankful for all of their willingness to be available if and when they are needed. Some subs might think they're never have been called upon, but all of a sudden in the middle of the night, a phone call will come and someone's sick or someone has a need in their family and they have to be gone, and it's a blessing to have a sub on hand, ready to go with it if they are needed. So I'm thankful for that. And from a personal standpoint, I can say I have grandchildren in 3 of the 5 student classes downstairs, and they all love Sunday school, and they're learning a lot. They talk on the way home about the things they've learned from you teachers, and I'm personally thankful for that. That's the only one I can talk of personally, but I've heard of other parents saying the same thing. And they feel bad when they're unable to attend. And that's all thanks to our great leadership and the willingness that they have and the heart they have for our boys and girls in all of our classes. Thank you.
Let's do it this way. Let's approve it, and then we can ask for questions. If anybody would like to make a motion to approve the CE report, we entertain that motion at this time. Okay, Rex and Val second. All in favor say aye. Anybody opposed, same sign. Okay, any questions for Della on the Sunday school or any of the kids? Or thank you, Della. And yeah, that's right. And also want to thank Val for when Royal Rangers and Missionettes fell apart, she stepped right in there and held it together with the kids club. So we're grateful to her. You want to put a plug in for that, or? I think we should give Val a hand. Yes. All right. right. At this time, we'll have Nora Mon come and give the Women's Ministries report. She has been the president how many years now? Is this three? Two? Three? Four? The years all run together.
No fights this time for the... I was listening to the tape and he was talking about the other church where we had to have, you had to go because of the fights. There were no fights that way for elections again this year. Okay, the women's ministries meet either the first or second Tuesday of each month. Usually it's the first Tuesday unless there's some conflict, such as in April there's elections, November there's elections. We meet at different ladies' houses, and afterwards we have a snack. The highlight for me this year is we started a new study book, and it is called Growing in Prayer, and that's been really interesting. Barb Cormacan usually leads the Bible study. In January, new officers took over. Jill and Christy were the co-secretaries and treasurers. Debbie was the vice president, excuse me, and I obviously was the president. Some of the activities over the year, we did spring cleaning. Our annual WM conference in Eau Claire was last year. That was a fun event. I know I learned a lot from that. We had a bridal shower. In November, we had elections. I was elected president again. Christy was elected vice president, and Jill took over as solo for the secretary treasurer. We had our annual Christmas party where we reveal our secret sisters and we drew new ones. And on a personal note, I feel like I have gotten to know the ladies of our church, the ones that attend the WM meetings, a lot more from going to these meetings than just seeing them at church. You see them in their home. You learn a lot about a person's personality from their home, which kind of scares me about mine. but I feel more of a bonding because during the Bible studies, we really we learn a lot about each other and about the struggles and the good points, and it really helps us to. It really encourages me in my own Bible or my own spiritual walk. And I would encourage all of you ladies to attend. If there's a problem getting to a meeting, talk to somebody else. I'm sure they'd be willing to carpool. For this year, our conference is this weekend in Eau Claire. Those of you that are going, are there any questions for me?
Must have covered everything. Is there a motion to accept the WM report? Okay, Steve and Christy second. All in favor say aye. Opposed? All right. Okay. Old business. We need to discuss the requirements for the additional board member. But I almost think we could go ahead and do the election for the first deacon because that's not going to, these new requirements won't have anything to do with that. So please listen carefully. The following people have been nominated by members of the church board, and there is a lengthy list this year. A lot of years people decline when we talk to them. This year there was some decline, but not as much. And so you have a lengthy list to choose from. Okay, this is Lowell Burton's term. It is a 3-year term. Before we vote, does everybody have a ballot? Okay. Nora? Okay. This is, Nora has made the, okay. Nora has made a motion that this would be a nominating ballot. This is the same as we have done in other years. What that means is we'll take the top two. The top two as in this particular vote, and the top two will vote over on the top two. So like you're nominating two people, all right? Unless, then there will be another vote between those two unless there is enough for an election in the first ballot, which means they have to have a simple majority. Is that clear? I know I didn't do a very good job of explaining that one. Does that make sense? Okay. The other thing that we will need is a motion to close the roster. Okay, Lori, you making that motion? All right, Lori has made the motion to close the roster. Oh, we did. Boy, I am really having problems here today. We need to do these more than once a year, I guess. All right, let's back up. We have a motion to... Lori has made a motion. Nope, who is the motion by? Nora made the motion to make this a nominating ballot unless there's an election. We need a second to that. Okay, Bev. All in favor, say aye. Opposed? All right. Now it's... Okay, so now Lori, we move to her, has made a motion to close the roster, and we'll need a second for that. Okay, Clarice has seconded that. All in favor, say aye. Anybody opposed? Okay, so here is the people that you may vote for. Yes. 34 is written on here. Okay, 34 on here. Does that include... The associates, or is this just voting? All signatures. Okay. We'll need to find out how many are voting, correct? So we will take... No associate member signed. So there's 34. 18 would be required for an election. 18. What, simple majorities. 17 would be... 50%, so we need 18. Okay, Lowell Burton, Steve Inlow, Tim Bongard, Bob James, Bob Shackleton, Tom Lamb. Okay, you need those names read again. Lowell Burton, Steve Inlow, Tim Bongard, Bob James, Bob Shackleton, Tom Lamb. If you would vote for only one, please. And let's pray. Father, we thank you for this time, and Lord, we just ask for your wisdom and guidance in all matters, and especially as we vote for deacon here, someone to serve your church and your people. Give us wisdom and divine guidance. In Jesus' name, amen. Mr. Craig must have all the young people working downstairs yet. Oh, they hightailed it out. Okay. Any testimonies or anything while we were waiting on the results? Any testimonies or anything while we're waiting? Tell us about your service this morning, Bob. Bob had a Gideon service. An hour long he got to speak. Not enough people. How many people? I had a hour, such a class, and I'm sure you know. Okay. The plans are Bob's going to give a Gideon report here last Sunday in April 26th. Oh, really? Really? We had an election. Congratulations to Lowell Burton. He's been reelected for another 3-year term. Let's express our appreciation to Lowell. Speech.
Actually, I almost did not run this year. I was planning not to all year, and about a month ago, I guess I changed my mind and decided to, and my wife made me. But anyway, this will probably be my last 3-year term for a while.
We'll see.
We're glad to have Lowell. Sure. Drop your name for the second time. All right. Okay, we talked last year about adding another ward member, and I didn't remember it until we had the tape of last year's meeting that this is a 1-year trial period. The fourth member of the board, Georgia, made the motion that we try a fourth member for 1 year, and then Bob seconded it. Yeah, they got it on tape. Okay. All right. Well, they don't specify how many board members you have. Our thinking last year was we have a lot of guys that we feel are qualified that could serve on the board, and we thought we'd give them a chance. That was our thinking, to get more people involved, get more people to know what's going on in the church. And so that was our thinking. And I didn't remember exactly how the discussion went last year in talking about it. But there's no set requirement for how many board members you have.
One to three, your pastor is not going to be a trouble. With four, he has to raise the eye. And if I'm on the other side, I'm going to have to do it. And I think that's the real way. I think you're going to solve the case.
Okay, well, I mean, it's up to you. If you want to renege on it or if you want to try it for a year, I can tell you that we don't vote. You know, Bob, you've been on the board. We talk things out. You know, I don't know that we voted maybe once on something. Otherwise, we usually try to discuss it and come into agreement on it. I mean, I can tell you that. It's your decision. I mean, it's up to you. These are people that are placed, you're placing in office to serve you. That's what deacons are. They serve the church, they serve you. So what's your desire? Do you want to move forward with this, or you want to try to undo last year's decision, or? Okay. Anybody else? We're open it for discussion. Bill? To work with and for both, I guess, for the edification of the church.
No, I think the answer to the question is yes. If we go into another decision, accepting a member, some question, I'll say it's okay. We'll decide about it.
Well, I think that if we...
In the case of 3 out of 1, it's still 2 of 1.
Yeah. I think with, you know, with the issue like the blacktop, it's on the agenda today anyway. I think that would be something that we would discuss as a church body, church membership, and not as a board. I don't think any of us board, any of the board members would want to make that decision. Am I right? Or... I don't know. No, I mean, apart from input from the congregation. See, the board is not here to just do what they want to do. Your input is what they're after. And there are some decisions where, yes, you put them in position and you trust them to make a decision. That's what you put them there for. That's why we have senators and congressmen. We trust them to make decisions for us when we can't be there. So, yes, there is some of that. Right. I think we voted maybe once last year. Do you remember? Did we vote on something, or did we talk it through?
In 12 years, I can only remember one time where we had something come to a vote. I think it's the only time I've ever disagreed with the pastor.
I don't know, the jury's still out.
But I mean, generally we do not vote. Generally we discuss things to a point of agreement. But Bill asked what our job as board members were. I think our job as board members is to protect our pastor, protect our church's finances, and protect the church itself, and try and do the Lord's will in doing that. And we hired a pastor for the Christian education of the church, and we tried leaving that job up to him. And We don't interfere with how he does it or what he does. We feel that's his job, and that's what we hired him for. And most of the things we discuss is just administration of the church.
Right.
It's administration things. I mean, it's some spiritual things, and a lot to do with the grounds and that kind of thing, the church building itself. So I guess what we need to do is, are we going to move forward with this? Because if we are, we need to lay down some requirements. If we're not, then we'll have to make a motion and re-vote and take this out of the, change the minutes from last year. Okay, we can do a show of hands. You're calling for a vote, right? Well, I don't know that we need to vote on. It's been decided. We need to.
Somebody's got to make a motion the opposite way.
Right. Yeah, I guess if you don't want it this way, you'll need to make a motion to change it.
Can we clarify if it goes for in the trial period for 1 year, so that deacon would be up for re-election next year? If
we decided to continue it. Otherwise, he would serve 1 year and that would be it.
So, I guess that's my question. If we decide next year to continue with them, would that even be up for re-election, or is it a three-year term?
I think what we need to do is decide if we're going to do this or not, for sure or not, and then that would be one of the requirements that we'll have to decide on. I'll give you this chance right now. If somebody would like a motion to rescind this, please do so now. Otherwise, we are going to go ahead and follow through with this. Okay. I take it by your silence that we will go through and add a fourth board member for a trial period of 1 year. Okay. Now we can talk about some of the concerns and questions that Nora has brought up. What do you want to do? Have this person be on for 1 year and then re-vote on them for 3 years, or how do you want to do it? Want to make this permanent next year, or?
Let's decide next year.
Let's decide next year.
I mean, that's the way, I think that's the way the motion is rolling.
Yeah.
If the motion is correct, I think we decide next year, not this year, right?
Okay. All right. So.
So I would assume it's a 1 year hold, the way it appears to me with last year's motion.
Okay. All right. Sounds good. Next year we decide permanence. Next year we. I mean, there's always. You leave yourself up for some options here. You can go back to 3. You can go to 5. You can keep it at 4.
Just so whoever's dominating understands.
Right.
You know, next year.
No,
we'll decide one way or the other if we're going to vote or not. For the
beginning. But we need to decide now whether if we continue, does that deacon continue, or if we have to re-elect that position?
We've got a trial on for a year. After the year is over, then we discuss it and find out how things went, if it was all right, and if it wasn't, decide if we're going to cancel that meeting or not.
Yes, Jill. Right. Right.
Well, one thing too I'd like to mention, a year ago when we decided to have a board member, we were averaging 100 people. And right now we're averaging 80. And if we go back up to 100, we might want to add 5.
Sunday school.
Yeah. But average in 80 is a lot different than an average in 100. Next year, if we're at average in 100, we might want to go to 5. And if we go down more, we might want to go to 3.
Right.
Val?
I'm just saying how we're going to know whether it works out or not. I mean, how is us going to know as a church if it's working out?
Well, the board members will know how things are working out.
I guess you'll have to kind of depend upon, you'll have to kind of depend upon us on that regard. And again, it's not the person that's up, because let's see, it would be Don Stauffer's term up next year, so it would be voting on Don on his position and another one. And it's not that the person who served temporarily can't take that other 3-year position. So it's not a person that we're voting on. We're voting on a position. No, but I guess that's up to the members to vote wisely, responsibly. That's, that's your choice. I understand the pros and cons. Okay, is it clear then that we're doing this temporary for 1 year, and then next year that position will be voted on if we decide to continue it? No, they won't just keep going. No, they would have to be reelected, or somebody else would have to be reelected. All right? We need to discuss family members and those kinds of things to serve on the board. I mean, what are the requirements for this? We had not had immediate family members serve on the board. With 3, they would have a majority. And it was brought to our attention that maybe that could be changed by adding a 4th board member. You understand what I'm saying? So you need to discuss that and decide that. Does anybody know what it says? I forgot my constitution bylaws today. I was going to bring it. I don't know. Bob? Well, okay, well,
somebody have to make a motion to change it.
Wait, as far as adding the 4th member, that was already decided. Yeah, if I said if, that was my mistake. So I shouldn't have said if. Were the requirements for this person to hold this position? Okay, let's just be brutally honest. Okay, let's just be brutally honest here. Tim is one that is running for this position. Now, Lowell serves on the board. Is that a problem? Okay, that's what we want to know. It's all right if I'm honest about that, isn't it, Val? I mean, that's where we got to go with it. Okay, I'm just, we just need to...
Well, that's true. We don't live in the same house, but we have the same rules for Bob and Bob. So, I mean, it's hard to say because we're Burtons, we should have different rules for Burtons than we did for Shabbat.
Well,
you know.
Actually, here's what I think we should do, okay? Rather than making a statement, I think we should just put it to a vote. Just vote on this person, include Tim, and just do what you want to do. Just do what you think is right, rather than making a statement here.
I think we should definitely set up rules eventually, you know, to this, you know. I'm not saying it needs to be done today, but, really don't feel it would be fair for the pastor if there was three of my family members on the board, four of my family members, you know. And then it almost looks like a gang up, you know.
Right.
I'd feel sorry for him.
But,
you know, or the same with Bob's family or anybody's family. You know, it just isn't fair to have a lot of the same family on the same board.
Yeah.
But example, when you're still always going, Tim doesn't even have a chance.
Well, yeah, I don't have any problem with that.
But he doesn't even have a chance.
Right. Well, here's my thought about talking about it at a later time. Because now it looks like we're deciding on Tim or not, and I don't want that. So I think we should include Tim in this vote and discuss it at a later time when a person is not a relative, is running. So, you know, so it's not looking like it's an individual thing. That's my feeling. Well, we'll see. Okay. Is there a second? Rex? Christy has got her hand up too. All right, I will read the list again. Here is your list. Lowell Burton has been elected. Steve Inlow, Tim Bongard, Bob James, Tom Lamb. Bob Shackleton has asked for his name to be removed. So please vote for one of those people. The same holds true. Nominating ballot, unless there's enough votes for an election. Same holds true. So, 18 votes are needed, correct? 18 votes. No, they weren't numbers.
Probably gonna be one of our longer meetings this week.
We don't really have other things to discuss.
We got one.
If you want to go get a Coke, go get a Coke. We have an election. Congratulations to Steve Inlow. He's been elected. Speech. No, you don't have to give a speech. We made Lowell because he's done this a few times. So next time, if you're, you know, then you. All right, let's move on to the new business. I wonder if I should. All right. We have some new business to take care of. We've had some requests come to the board. And some of these they asked the board to discuss, and other things they wanted to be brought up at the annual meeting here. Now, some of the things the board thought we would let everybody else decide on these matters. And one of the matters is kitchen cabinets. And it's been asked of us if we could purchase some new kitchen cabinets and do some work on the kitchen. And so that's up for discussion, okay?
You mean the ones that we got now are going to be eliminated with all brand new?
That's what the request was, yes. That we put new, brand new kitchen cabinets in. You're not asking me that. These aren't my requests. These are things that were brought to me, okay? Bill, you have it.
If we're going to stay here, why not a free church?
Okay, if we're going to stay here.
Hold the microphone closer to people when we're talking.
All right, James? No, we did not do. Here, let me just make a suggestion. I mean, if this is something that you think you would want to do, along with some of these other things, is you just put some people in charge and have them go get some prices for you. I don't know. I don't know. Or how much are they going to cost?
$2,500 to $3,000.
Okay. $2,500 to $3,000
for what?
For kitchen cabinets. That's a guess for Lowell right now. Okay. I'm a little bit concerned with the number of people that have left or have had to leave. I understand we probably make the decisions without them, but I'm a little bit concerned about that. I mean, do you feel that the meeting is taking too long? Yeah, when do you want to do the business? I mean, do we do it now and take one day and just get through it, or we have another meeting or so? I understand it. Everybody's time is precious, but
those kitchen cabinets, is that one of the things that they want to do?
Yeah, these are things that are brought to me. Okay, these aren't my ideas. These
are things that were brought up to the church board, where the church board didn't want to say no to the people, let the people say no or yes.
Right.
Simple.
Barb.
So we're not buying the right.
Well, I guess maybe we should. We haven't decided. Not really. I mean, we didn't really pursue the land that all that much.
I think you should decide one way or the other on that, so we can then figure out what you want. Because if we're going to build a new church, let's buy put new cabinets in down here.
Well, we didn't know how you were going to react at us in this meeting because we didn't purchase the land. We didn't. Even though the people voted to.
We were at 100 people a year ago, and then we're at 80 people. You know, is it a wise investment to purchase land when our population is dropping?
Yes. Okay. Anybody else?
Yeah. I know I'm a youth pastor. I've also gone here since I was a coffee ball. So.
You have as much right to say anything as
I think we still would be, and my dad would disagree with me. I think we're still wise in pursuing the land because we want to live for us. And two, it's something that we could expand on in the future. Maybe it's still 10 years down the road, but then we won't have that cost 10 years down the road. That'll be done with, it'll be over with. The land in the areas that we live in appreciates every year, doesn't depreciate. So I think it's still a valuable option that we should consider.
Mark?
Everyone might disagree with me, but.
Mark?
I agree. The thing is, if we keep waiting and putting it off, is the option of this land that we bought, which seems to be such a great deal, going to be there what we want. I don't think we necessarily have to build a church right away. But I think it's a good idea to let it happen so that there's always that option that we do have our need to.
Okay. It's the question, how much do we want to spend? I don't
know. If somebody speaks on the damage issue, is that okay to ask? I mean, I'm not in the kitchen that much, and some of the ladies perhaps that are concerned about the damage, they say what about the situation or
well,
what is the condition of the cabinet, so everybody knows?
I would have the person who brought it speak, but they are not here. Otherwise, I would have them speak to it.
I'll speak to it. They're very poor cabinets. They're very low in first phase. People have come to fix the drawer at least a couple of times. We've had this before. He fixed it. It has actually fallen out. They weren't answered very when they were coming in very cheap. The lake is
the long range.
It's a lot more than just that. I mean, we also got to remember the classroom, the size of the classroom. I hope the kitchen cabinet. I mean, that's what we got involved in. What are we going to do? Are we going to build? We're going to buy land? I personally think that would be too high purchase.
Well, I was going to say, if you purchase the land, then you got all that money that you're going to put in these cabinets and the renovation and stuff, you put into the land and then build it.
We got the money involved, but do we want to stick $30,000 into this?
Yeah.
I mean, is it going to raise the price on the building for someone else to buy? If we blacked out that whole driveway $25,000, $30,000, is it going to help the cost of this building? Without creating cameras, is it going to cost the cost of
it at all?
Huh?
So, try to fall.
My driveway was thick. I don't know how.
interrogating them. And then it doesn't mean what we hope by them. It just means we're doing the minimal necessary to make a reason.
Okay. Thank you. So what's your pleasure?
I make a motion that we spend up to a certain amount for the
Okay, second.
Could I?
Yeah, before we have any vote, we'll discuss here.
Okay. Well, I would hate to go beyond the place of no return. That's one thing. If we could do the blacktopping in the kitchen cabinets and the gutters for a minimal fee that the church would never ever get in return in cash, I have no problem with that. But I kind of worry about a place of no return if we're back at 100, 110 people in another year again. Is the money spent wisely? Because this church is worth the maximum dollars it will ever be worth right today. You know, if we add 100,000 to it, it's still only worth what it is today. I don't think we'd ever get another penny out of it in the parking lot, or another penny out of it with new kitchen cabinets or whatever.
Christy?
I think it's also hard to grow when there's not room to grow. We were at 110, so that's maybe because there wasn't enough room. Yeah, it was pretty silent.
But if we can do it for minimal dollars, you know, without
Bill?
I do know, and this is a pet peeve of mine, and it has been since I've been coming here, but I do know people that has come here. And I'm from West Virginia, by the way, raised in the mountains. But right today, walk out there and invite somebody from the church, you got to walk through that mud hole? I don't get it. Well, I say I was raised in West Virginia. I'm coming from here.
And don't come? Our membership roster is like 57, and most of those come on a regular basis. Yeah.
One is Janelle, my daughter.
Mike Lathe moved away, and actually Lacey's moved away, and they didn't take their membership. They didn't request that their membership be anywhere else, so they're like on an inactive status, I guess, right?
Everybody that's a member of Tim's except for the few that are inactive.
Right. But like Lacey's, they're not, you know, they're gone, but Doris Lynch, I like to include them on active, even if they only get out once a year. I don't know. That's me. Because she's active, she's praying for us, and right. Right. If everybody were to come who's affiliated with the church, we'd have about 120. If everybody were to come. So we have about 30 that stay away every week. And they come sporadically. Barb?
Bring it back to people and say, well, this is what the guys want to
It's. I know we didn't last year. I couldn't until I got back. We never had the money.
So these are good options to have. We just need to figure out what we want to do. Well, I think, like Barbara said, I think we should just go and have someone go out and get some estimate prices and find out what they are, and then have another meeting later on.
Okay, is that a motion? Lori had something to say. All right. What if we did that? What if we form a committee to check out these prices? Huh? It was a couple of people have said maybe we should form a committee or something, have people look at the options. Okay.
As far as rock on the driveway, I think we should just go and look. You know, that's a simple part. You know, I mean, we could put, you know, 3 inches of rock on there for $1,000. I mean, to me, that's a minimal charge.
It'll be dry by the time you make up on the back. You know what I'm saying? And it's only wet for a month, so if we just form a community, I'd rather not leave it around. It'll be dry by the time we decide to do it.
Yeah, but it'll be dry before they can blacktop it, too.
If it's a gravel decision, you know, I think that's a simple board decision.
Well, have you ever seen the chewed up blacktop?
Yeah, I have.
But what's the deal on that?
I don't know.
You get it from my son, but it's in your driveway and it is hard as rock.
I understand. I've heard it's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, I have no problem with that.
That's the cost compared to fresh blacktop.
Right.
Well, if it's blacktop, I think it's a church decision. If it's rock, I think it's a board decision. That's.
Well, you're talking $20.
Yeah.
Well, okay, we're at a motion. What was that motion? Okay, we had that was actually a motion that was seconded. Now wait. Was made and seconded. All right, so that needs to be voted on. And I've been asked before if we the elections today if we can put them on paper. So we'll do that. All right. So
you're not sneaking out on us, are you, Phil?
Yes for the cabinets, no, no cabinets.
Well, and the thing of it is this fair to vote like this, though, without knowing costs? I mean,
what, Josh? Yes, if you want cabinets, no, if you don't want kitchen cabinets. Yes or no? I don't know.
Yeah.
strong fit line in the same way.
Is this a simple majority, or did we still got to get 82?
Okay, yes, one. So we did get new kitchen cabinets. Okay, the next thing was playground. And
where are you going to put it?
Playground, that was the next thing. I don't think they mean an elaborate playground. They mean a couple of slides and swings or something like that.
Where are you going to put it?
What, Bill?
I
suppose. Well, you look like you were asking me. I don't know.
This is where yours is.
All right, Nora, why don't you speak to it?
Well, whether we build a new church or not, if we decided right now that yes, we're going to build another one, we will not be in a new church for at least 2 more years. I can't see it any time before that. We have a lot of families coming with small children, and a lot of this church is very, very friendly. Parents like to visit afterwards. I know I do. I see them. There's nothing really good to be kind of. And I'm not just speaking to my kids, but I've gotten after my kids, I've gotten after other kids for being in the downstairs room closet, in the storage closet, in the Sunday school room, going through all the materials. This is one of the very, very few business meetings that I can remember that hasn't been brought up, that we need to remind the children not to play with the piano, with the keyboard, that's been put the piece of equipment with the microphone, so the amplifier can get out. So, what if they're really the top of the line, we are at the top of the line as an artist with a commercial grade quote, whatever, top of the line is with $1,500.
What's that?
That includes everything you could imagine. So that's
that was wise the way she answered that. James?
Our insurance will cover it. Said without that, I think our insurance will cover it.
Yeah, we checked on that. It's a good question, but we did check on that one.
And it didn't raise the price.
No, it didn't raise the insurance premium.
Everybody's giving positive. Can I give one negative?
Yeah, I was going to say any negatives next.
Okay, this is my negative. a lot of times we have what I would consider weak parents that have a hard time controlling their kids, and instead of having their kids in the service, they would prefer letting them out back or in the basement playing instead of having them in the service. And talking about the weaker parents now, it would just give them one more excuse not to have the kids in the service. Okay, take it for what it's worth. See, now, it wouldn't happen with my kids. I mean, you know, it wouldn't happen with my kids, and it wouldn't happen with most of the kids here. But there are the weaker parents that, you know, can't say no to their kids, can't make their kids sit in the service, through the service, and it's easier for them to let them go play than, you know, teach them to sit in the service. No, I know that that isn't the purpose. I'm not saying it is. And I'm not, you know, I'm not saying it's an entertainment center for kids in the service. I'm just talking about a group of parents that, you know, are not strong enough with their children.
Well, I think it will help all the children. Like when we have fellowship, the kids are not, they're either running around in here, which is not. They don't like to see that. And they're not running around making a bunch of noise downstairs, so you can't hear yourself think.
All right. I think it's been, discussed. Let's go.
Can I bring up one more time before
you go? Okay. I like it as a school.
Well, there was one more thing that this weren't mine, but it was brought up to me by somebody else, and that is church clothes. You know, kids coming in their church clothes, and the clothes getting wrecked on the playgrounds. And that was, somebody brought that up to me, and that's not mine. I mean, that's not my concern.
Well, I guess that would be the parents' decision, I guess. James?
Thank you for volunteering. I make a motion that James puts it together. Seriously. But still, that it's off limits during church times anyway.
Right.
So even during.
Right. But what I'm saying is, when you talk about parents, when you have little kids, sometimes they're in and out, in and out, in and out. And if everybody in here has got little kids.
Let me just make another good point. If we did get it, apparently I haven't made too many of them lately. But when I was younger, went to a church, we didn't have playground. We had apples on a tree. And I got two black eyes because of it. So we got pine poles here or something. Somebody might get it.
Yes, Jim.
My second point is,
all right. Well, can we have a let's have a motion to put this to a vote. We're going to be here all day. We're already here. All right. Okay. Well, yeah, we'll just vote on it. All you need is vote yes or no on your paper.
What? You don't need it to. It's already before us. Just to speed things up, can we, while they're counting, can we continue to go on here? I don't know. Some discussion has already been on the parking lot. Was it decided to send it to have some prices checked, or was that it? Is that what the there is no official motion, but was that kind of where we were going with that? All right. Is there a second? Okay. Have a meeting when? Do you want to put a time frame on that? Okay. To back up, it was a yes on the playground. Playground. Okay. We have a motion to check prices and alternatives or whatever to for the parking lot, see what we can do. And did somebody second that? Bev did. All right. Any discussion on that? Anybody opposed to doing that? Let's hear that first. I think it should be brought back to the church since that's where this was originated from. That's great. Oh, I don't know. In the meantime, I think in the meantime, let's drop some gravel out there as soon as we can.
I'd like to say at least let's do that, and then we can decide on the major topic.
I think we should put gravel on there, and if we decide to build, put a sign on there to build. I don't think we should just need to be out here because I think it's not going to be
around. Let's what? What are we voting on? Options and prices. Okay. Yes to do that, no to not do that. Is that it?
Well, can we amend it to put a date to bring back to the congregation slide?
Well, you gotta decide who's gonna do this.
Okay, I don't think we even need a motion or a vote on it. I think, you know, as far as, you know, just getting somebody to go check on prices, I think we can do that and then bring it back to the church.
But is that what everybody wants to do? I get the feeling some people don't want to even do that. They just want to nix it right now. Am I right?
Well, I think if we should get the prices, and that way we can
decide then. Well, we don't have to do one. We don't have to take it or leave it now. We can bring it back and talk about it.
Yeah.
I think we should do that immediately. You know. The blacktopping, I think, or whatever else, we should, you know, find out what the prices are and come back. And then,
does the ground look blacktop or not?
Well, I hire Asphalt Associates out of Lockers, and it's about $2 a square foot.
That's the ground up.
No,
Yeah, I have no problem with doing that. I don't know if we vote on it, we still got to bring it back and vote on it again, so I think we're the same place, right?
Yeah, I guess.
So why don't we just find out prices for the cost of blacktop and just put rock on it in the meantime? And anyway, they also asked for an option of crushed rock, I mean crushed blacktop. And if there's any other options, let's look at them too.
Steve had one. Okay, and then did you have your hand up, Bart?
Yeah, I just got a hall rock red. You know,
yeah, anything you could do to help us, we would appreciate it. Well, yeah.
You know, it drains through, so you have a surface that's dry.
Our lime rock absorbs water.
Right, right.
So I'll do that.
Okay. Okay, great. Anything you could do to help us, we would appreciate it.
Oh, you know some people are doing. Okay.
Well, to cover this whole thing would take about 15 volts.
15 volts.
I would guess.
Okay, report back to us what you find out.
You know, just tell somebody who wants 3 inches. What? I would guess 3 inches.
Yes,
okay, can we move on? All right, this is actually, it's the last one. Concerning fellowship dinners, it's a concern that one Sunday each month, the women of our congregation are missing part or all of the worship service and communion also. And it's suggested that maybe we could go to quicker meals, sandwiches, salads, potluck type things, in crock pots, I mean, so that we can move it along faster. And with minimal kitchen labor and setup could be done just before and after the service more swiftly, quicker would be the correct word. So not to do away with them, but to look for ways that we could speed it up so more women are not down there and more can be up here in the service. And I know in the past, they used to come up for communion sometimes, but I know lately that hasn't been happening, so I don't know if they've been getting communion down there or not.
Well, didn't we set it up when we set it up that there were supposed to be 2 people down there working at a time?
I don't know how you guys have set it up.
I think that's the way we set it up.
In general.
There was 2 people that were supposed to go down there and get things lined up for, you know, get the hot dishes hot, you know, make sure this is hot, and then put the cakes and stuff out and get everything all lined up. And then they could come back up after they got that done. And then they would be here in the service. Because it only took a big and paper and all this set up.
The thing is, they're not worried. The ones that are down there are usually good for any of those are anyways. Usually that paper is not down.
Yeah.
So it's not like they're living in the service. For a while, communion was actually lower than the service.
Okay. Has it been lately?
I'm just saying, I think it's hard to, like, I'm just saying,
I think the intention of this is just to less work on the ladies and more, so that they could be in the service more. I know. I've seen that. I've seen that too. Where I thought a few more than were necessary were down there.
Well, like I said, it was. I think we had it set up so there was only supposed to be two down, two ladies out, and there was four ladies on the committee. There was two to set up and then two to clean up.
The thing is, we're all the old girls here. How do you? What do you get to the top off there?
Lori and then Rex.
Right. Yeah, but they should be told ahead of time.
Rex.
I just want to say, I don't know who made, and we're getting a little bit off, but I don't know who made the suggestion, but if they're affected in that manner, I suggest don't go be up here for, you know, whatever. If they have to be up here, if they want to bring a light snack, sandwich type in, let them bring it. But still, please fellowship with us. I mean, I can't see us governing and saying, no, you can't bring that. That's
Debbie had her hand up, and then Sandy.
I don't know if everybody knows this. This same thing was brought up to the WMs a while back when we was on the Stone Board, and we discussed it that way, and we voted it that way. We brought that up today, but I just want to make you guys aware that it was brought up before, and we had discussed the pros and cons of it quite in depth, and we really love the fellowship of our church, and we love that it's a family setting and whatnot. And you know, some people don't care for it, just I grew up with Christians, and you know, I ended up during the week. But everybody be free to bring what they want. You know, if those people want to bring sandwiches, that's fine. You know, that's what it
matters. We don't want to interfere with anybody's spiritual love either, just by eating.
Okay, Sandy.
Don't stop me from eating.
Sandy.
I'll say that this is a concern of mine, and I want to read the one from the letter. And it's not, to me, it's taking away from the worship we have, and I guess that letter goes into.
I didn't know if you wanted them to read it. I'll make it available if you want them to read it.
Yeah,
or whatever.
It's a spiritual, such as a spiritual concern. I mean, that, because I guess if you're being down there, that's taking away from worship time. Worship isn't for us necessarily. I guess thinking of that, we're taking away from the worship of God and the special time. And, you know, are we doing it because we have something to do? What's our reason for fellowship? Is it for fellowship? Or is it so we get good food? You know, what is our intent for that? And I guess that's, you know, my concern that we're taking away from church of time and worship. So that was the intent.
Okay, Debbie?
I guess it's kind of like what Craig said this morning, that, okay, like if you guys are working, you said it's our way of serving meals. You know, we do this, you know, the WMs are divided up, we do this twice a year. And it's our way of ministering to the whole church body. Not necessarily that we're done with fellowshipping, but it's our way of serving, you know, and there is a call for that, you know, in the early church. They met every week when they ate. You know, obviously, Clement had a shaker or something there.
Okay, Jody and then Nora.
The same women are down there every night, too. So, an individual, mother or wife, whatever, you won't have a lot of time to go.
Yeah,
not like it's every single time to think of the Lord.
I would like to see the women come up for communion, during that time. It would take 5 minutes, you know, it would be nice if they did.
Maybe they should be set up by that time anyway.
You know, I mean, not to take away from the communion service, but it would be nice if they could partake in.
Okay.
It would be possible, maybe you should have some reserve. I know in the past we had that going down there, and then, you know, during that part of the service, we partake at that time. It would be possible to reserve some.
Serve yourself.
So the deacons are able to.
That's speakers on, so
I would think that would be fine. I have no problem with that at all. I mean, I think that's a great idea. I never even thought of that. If you want to partake and join into the part of the service, that'd be great. Well, it is hard for the to bring the surfers to go down and then back up and keep the surface flowing.
The last 5 minutes was the most chaotic. You've got to get everything on the table before everybody gets down. And the last 5 minutes is probably the hardest part. So if they were to come up here and do the maintenance, I'd try to come down there and observe us before the end. I don't know after a weekly experience, I'd like to try to figure that out.
Is it possible to have, you know, you can only need one or two people setting up, is that correct? Is it possible to have those on the committee set up one time and then the other people set up the next time? You're only missing part of one service a year that way. Well,
that's true. I mean, I'm just being frank and true. That.
But let's Brian talk.
I wrote the letter and Sandy and I talked about it at some length, and it's good to have a discussion, I guess. I mean, it certainly bothers me, but I know it needs to be a constitutional issue that we can come together on, I guess. To me, it certainly seems possible, isn't it, to do both, to have everybody involved in worship. Maybe there just needs to be a little bit longer time after the end of the service before the meal starts. I mean, I guess I feel like we don't come to church to eat. It doesn't matter to me if it's a simple meal or more elaborate meal. Hopefully our priority in coming to church is to worship God. And I guess Pastor Manny, part of your service, this morning, part of your sermon this morning, one of the small compromises. You know, that's why the whole church is in trouble, is because we do small compromises. And to me, even if it's only two women down there, $500 down there, you know, I think we need to unite them, the church and worship, and it's certainly possible to have united worship and the meal. There's easy ways to do both. I guess, you know, when I take an offering, I go downstairs on Communion Sundays in our on a couple of occasions, or maybe it's always the same, but sometimes there's 5 or 6 or 8 down there. Just doesn't seem very worshipful, I guess, because it seems like there's the focus of those that are there. I know that I'm not disagreeing with you, that we got no purpose to serve, and there's a place to serve. But I think that we can continue to lead both without having them, you know, sort of fighting against you.
Okay. Nora had her hand up.
That's
an idea.
I think the whole thing.
Right, but that would be
I guess to me, I think about Mary and Martha, but Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus listening. And we might come here on Sunday morning to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen. And to Martha, work needs to be done, but there's a time to play for Martha. Jesus said, Martha, you're busy with so many things. I mean, if Jesus came into our service, instead of sitting down first, you go downstairs and say to the women, you're busy doing Martha work, come upstairs and sit and pray at my feet. Martha work, and we wait for another hour.
Yep. The only thing I would say in response to this, you can't make them.
That's right.
You know.
Well, I think the spiritual men of the congregation need to learn to lead and set the policy. And I think the women who are spiritual will follow the policy, and the men are the ones who set the policy on the basis of the spiritual
table,
Well, we're not going to do away with fellowship dinners. We're not
going to. Yeah, but I'm saying it's not the sandwich with the whatever. It's the whole thing.
Barb, did you hand up? I don't know what the, Brian, is your intention to vote on this or just to discuss it?
I just thought it was an issue that should be
okay.
Brought up. It's a concern of mine.
All right. Let's just take what was said to heart and do our best to be in the service when we can be. And we'll leave it up to individually what you want to bring and how involved you are want to be in it. I think that's an excellent suggestion. I don't have a problem with that. It does get to be a lot. We can do that. We can give it a try and see how it works. I mean, I'm open to change. All right. Well, let's stand and be dismissed. Brother Steve Inlow, would you dismiss us in prayer, please?